We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
The following is a presentation of Learfield. Welcome to Duck Insider.
Our whole athletic department, there's a level of expectations of success.
Throw, catch, touchdown, Oregon.
He can run and slam.
Back out for a three. Left wing is good.
In the air to center, back at the wall. He's out of here.
Really excited that we get to rep our Ducks and hopefully come back to Eugene with some championships.
Indoor track and field national champion.
Oregon repeats as the Pac-12 champion.
And for the fourth time in the last 6 years, the Ducks are Pac-12 champions.
We have so many teams that are excelling right now, and it's really fun to be a part of.
Duck Insider on the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield. Presented by On Point Community Credit Union. Better banking, local solutions. Live from the Country Financial Studio, here's Joey Mack.
Thank you. We've got a lot of injury updates for you today. Anthony Brown, Kayvon Thibodeau, Braden Swenson, a number of other guys. Mario Cristobal with updates on that in just a moment as he met with the media for the final time before Pac-12 play begins. That's right. The Ducks taking on the Wildcats of Arizona coming up 7:30 kickoff on ESPN. That means that we'll, of course, have the call on the Oregon Sports Network. And it's a 5:30 pregame show for us across OSN. Thanks for joining us. And then also of note, tonight we do have Marcel Yates for the first time on the Oregon Football Coaches Show. How about that? That's going to be a lot of fun, man. He is a very, very successful coach coming here now to coach for the Ducks, secondary and pass game coordinator. Marcel Yates on the Oregon Football Coaches Show tonight. You can tune in across the Oregon Sports Network, goducks.com/OSN, where to tune in. You can watch the show on the Go Ducks YouTube, Oregon Football, Facebook, and Twitter. We got Marcel Yates, and we're going to hear from a ton. That's right. A ton of student athletes here tonight. Speaking of student athletes, we've got Ty Thompson today, and then after practice, a number of different guys talked with the media today. We have all those interviews for you over today, tomorrow, and Friday. Jerry and Jorgie, though, on the Oregon Football Coaches Show tonight, 7 o'clock. Godux.com/OSN for more info. We also have Rob Bosley, editor-in-chief, Godux.com. He's going to join us in just a little while. Without further ado, though, how about some updates from Mario Cristobal? The injury report and his thoughts on a couple key guys on special teams. Really great conversation with Coach Cristobal as the Ducks wrapped up practice just about half an hour ago. If you're live with us in the 1 o'clock hour, here's the head coach.
Typical Wednesday practice like we always do, finish with 2 minutes. Still improving in a lot of areas and still got miles to go. Keeping the whole focus on physicality, execution, effort, playing with attention to detail, all things that we always do. So I won't bore you with all that stuff, but Open to questions.
Looked like AB was good to go.
He's good to go. All right, let's talk. He's good to go. Troy Franklin's good to go. Mace is good to go. Swinson, doubtful, you know, questionable. I don't know what those terms mean, but one or the other. KT is really improving, so I hate to still be kind of out there not knowing, but it's still day to day, but it's close. We're getting real close, so we're very encouraged by what we see there. Stephen Jones is good. I'm trying to think who else within play. Keith Brown's good, so that's where we're at right now with injuries.
Having all those guys back, does it just give you like an extra juice? Not that it wasn't lacking, but knowing you're getting close to being at full power of ability of roster?
Well, I wouldn't say we're at full power now. We're missing a lot of guys that, you know, are really, really good football players. So it's good. You want guys to practice extensively because that's when they're really good, right? That's when they bring a lot of value to the table. So, but it is encouraging. The most important thing is just practicing hard and practicing to a certain level, and that's what we're going to push. That's what we're going to keep emphasizing, the preparation. And all focus is on that. You know, conference play has begun. We know how that is. Every single week is a playoff game, every single one. Everybody has good players. Everybody's capable of making plays, and everybody's capable of beating anybody. I think we clearly understand that. We're going to drive it home relentlessly. And just keep working.
For players like Keith, who missed their entire high school football season last year, how much did that actually impact some of those freshmen coming in?
That's a great question. It does, significantly. And luckily for him, he came in January, so I feel like he made up for a lot of that in the spring and in the summer. When you really saw it turn the corner was towards the end of fall camp. You know, when now he starts, a linebacker's got to be able to trigger, right? Diagnose in split seconds and go, right? Put his foot on the gas and go make a play. And towards the end of the fall, you saw that. You know, there was – everything became clear. The game slowed down for him, and he was able to go. But without question, guys that missed time, yeah, you could see it, in at least in the early parts of spring, that they felt the effects of that.
Not just with Keith, but in addition to all the early enrollees, how important was it for them to get that spring in, especially now that you're getting down in the depth chart at some of these positions and maybe the extra 4 or 5 months that they had of training is coming up big
it's
now?
It's invaluable. I mean, you probably see it strongest in the tight end position, right? Those guys played extensively. Caught a little bit of the backs playing the other day, but those guys are ready to roll as well. It's a good chunk of offensive linemen that are ready to go. Keith is a linebacker, obviously. I'm trying to think who else. There's guys in the secondary that are ready to play as well. Damon David has missed some time. He's just about ready to go this game as well. If he's not ready for this one, he'll be ready for the next one. So all that time that they were here and took those valuable reps, it's paid off.
We were talking to Tim earlier this week about DJ Johnson's role potentially elevating on defense. Do you view him as a guy that could maybe go both ways throughout the season, or what are you seeing there?
Yeah, and not many people can do that. You know, that's a lot of time it's thrown out there. No one's done it successfully since, I don't know, maybe Bo Jackson. Maybe I'm wrong there. I don't watch the NFL much. He is a guy that can do it for a couple of reasons. He's highly intelligent, highly motivated. He invests time. He's already graduated, you know, so he's already taken care of his academics. He's hungry. Like, he wants the team to win. And you guys have seen him at both positions be very effective. So just he's pouring more time into it, the playbook, extra meeting time, just hunting down the coaches. And he's excelling. He's more than just a plug-in guy. He's excelling at both positions. So, you know, for his future and for the program presently, it drives up his value.
Given how well the freshman tight ends are playing, does that kind of maybe strengthen his case for being more available on defense?
It certainly helps. You know, certainly if we get in a situation where, man, now we're, you know, we already got hit pretty hard and we're down a certain amount, it certainly gives you that flexibility. He has a lot of value on the offensive side as well. You don't want to lose that. So, but should there be a situation like that, naturally you would have to make a move like that.
This is a little bit of a unique challenge, but preparing for their multiple quarterbacks, just because this isn't gamesmanship, Mario. This is very much like when Jed says they really don't know, they really very much don't know. Mm-hmm. And there's just finite tape on all three of these guys.
Right. No, you're absolutely right. I mean, they all do things differently. They all do things really well. And they've got speed. They've got game breakers on the offensive side of the ball. They got a good and a big and experienced offensive line. Receiver-wise, who also doubles as a punt returner, kick returner. I mean, they're explosive football players. So when they're in sync, they've shown how dangerous that they can be. So you got to prepare for a lot. So you got to be really sound. You got to be really disciplined. your practices have to be on point because you have to rep a lot of stuff. And I'm sure they want it that way. They want us to, they want to spread thin so that we do got to prepare for a lot of different things and then try to find their groove. So we know that the challenge that comes with that, we just got to keep preparing and preparing well.
You mentioned him a little bit there in passing, but just what makes Barry Hill unique compared to other guys who are in multiple facets, other all-purpose kind of style players?
Just explosive. You know, I think he leads the country in all-purpose yards, if I'm not mistaken. Just his ability to go 0 to 60, make a guy miss, you just don't see people, you know, you don't see the first guy make a tackle much on him. He's a very good blocker. He could run by you, you know, very polished in what he does with his hands and his feet and setting himself up down the field. So just all in all, he's an excellent football player.
DJ James got beat a couple times deep, but overall, how would you assess the play at corner last weekend?
Was solid. He had some plays he'd like to have back, and which is good. You know, we got to really get on our guys about the importance of eye discipline and playing with great technique. It goes back to this. We see it every single week. Every team has good players in some way, shape, or form. And if you're not at your best, you're going to get your butt beat. And whoever thinks differently, that's just an arrogant disregard for the game of football and doing things right. And that's what we can never have. So, and I don't think DJ has that, but we make sure that we hammer the right things home all the time so that we can be consistent. The key to this whole thing is being consistent in how you play the next play, right? And we got to make sure that every single play is max effort. And once that one's done, boom, it's the next one. And to create the type of consistency that we need to create momentum.
With that in mind, when film review on Sunday in particular, then how much, where does that coverage sack rank? Because it wasn't just that Suava gets credit for it and the D-line got penetration. It's against max protect, and it's the same play, basically, that they hit you for, that everybody adjusted, and I'm not sure anybody didn't do their job particularly well. I'd really, the whole defense played well on that.
Rank
like,
in terms of...
When you're assessing that play and you go, all right, we got hit on this earlier, now we're watching and going, the in-game adjustment, the maturity for everybody to executed that, but you know, throughout the course of the
game. It's a good indication that if guys do their job well, somebody's going to find a way to the ball. You know, the other part too is you have different parameters for different parts of it, right? Your screen game, the ball's out in 0.9. Your quick game, it's out in 1.9. Your, you know, quick five's out in 2.3 to 2.7. So you've got to get there before that ball comes out, or you got to be in great coverage to provide more time to get there. So it, when it's max protection, obviously a little bit more, it should be a little bit more, but you know, we always grade the integrity of the pocket on both sides of the ball. Did we break it, or did ours get broken? And certainly that was one we were able to break through.
When you guys bench or make a move or somebody beat someone out at a position like what happened with Camden last year, what's your guys' job as a coach to keep that person's confidence level at a certain spot where they can go into an offseason?
Great question. Be honest and then provide a path to compete and earn, just like you would for your very own son. That's what I would want. I mean, be honest, hey, this is where we're at. This is where you are. This is where this person is. This person's going to take the reps. Now, these are the things you got to do to get better and go and win this job. And, you know, always be encouraging, you know, and expect a good attitude. Guy goes with a bad attitude, well, it's not going to be great. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so I'm assuming he was pretty receptive to that.
He competed, man. I can't say enough good things about the way he approached that, because a lot of guys – they buckle, they turn it down, they point, they blame. He didn't. And I think that's valuable for an entire program to witness. That really drives a culture.
And how important in that process was the results that he's been able to achieve throughout? Because I can't imagine that, or I would imagine that he's looked good in practice the last 2 years, and it just maybe hasn't produced on game day. Like how important were those results?
He looked good enough in practice previously to start, but it was close. This past year, his practice reps and what he accomplished pushed ahead to the point where even though there was a guy that started at the end of the season, it was overwhelming evidence that he had to be the starter. You got to believe and trust your eyes. Regardless of the noise, the perception, that don't mean anything. The guy proved it, and then come game time, he's done it thus far, knowing that, hey, that's what it's got to be. That's what it's got to look like.
Are there certain tangible things for Camden in particular, Mario, but like, touchback percentage, well, it improves statistically, but somebody could just go, well, he kicked the ball harder. Well, yes, but in terms of his leg strength, are there certain tangible things that over the course of the last 2 years that he has improved by way of leg strength that you
Development takes place. I mean, but I, you know, talking about the actual technique, everything has to do with his hips approach and his plant foot, you know, and he works at it. I know that he does have some some people that he does confide in, you know, back home and as he, you know, during the offseason that have helped him. And he's worked at every bit of it. But it was technical. It wasn't ability. So he's got a powerful leg, and his touchback ratio is pretty high this year. You know, it's made a tremendous difference for us.
On the specialist, Tom Snead is a guy who's off to a really hot start. How integral has he been, just his improvement, to you guys being a well-rounded football team in every facet?
A lot of different ways, man. That guy's special. We took Tom Snead on a Skype because we couldn't get out there to Australia to go see him. 22-hour flight, I guess, either way, right? You go, and something happened where we got jammed up, ran out of days or opportunities, and somehow someone was able to film it and get us a film, and it was really impressive. But then he got here and had to adjust, right? You got to get that ball off in two steps. And he just worked, and he just consistently got better and better and better, and he's more than a good player. He's a weapon now.
How does a guy like that get on your radar?
Oh, we recruit. You know, we have ways. We work, you know. We work.
You've talked about that two-step approach with him before. How different is it now compared to where he was at when he first got here?
Very. Tremendously different, yeah. He was longer in his footwork. He was slower in his operation time. Inefficient with his drops, and all that stuff has changed. I'm not a kicking guru, so I'm not going to be exact. I think you might want to save some of those questions for him. But those are the things. Those are the common, you know, place things that we feel he's improved upon. And more than anything, it's just internally his makeup and his DNA is off the charts. The guy's a tremendous competitor.
You speak to him and just his really the last year and a half for him, Mark, because everybody's had their story, but I don't think he's gone home, like, at all. So that's just different compared to literally anybody even else here. Mm-hmm. How he's handled that?
He's done really well, you know. And it's like everybody, we all have family things that need to be attended to. He's been really strong, very resilient. So, you know, he's to be commended for his mental toughness, for his resiliency, and just finding a way to continue forging forward and improving.
Pretty cool stuff talking about Tom Snead there. Coach Chris Ball was along with Camden Lewis. A lot about the specialists. They also talked with the media today. We'll have those interviews for you this week on Duck Insider, zeroing in on a couple guys that have really become weapons, as Coach Chris Ball said, for this team. You know, special teams, there's always that joke. I remember Coach Osborne used to say this, that special teams is like you only want to get talked about at the end of the game if you hit like a game-winning field goal. Otherwise, if special teams is coming up at the end of a game, it's usually that something went wrong, right? Like, that's kind of the joke with special teams. Like, you kind of want it to only be for a big kickoff or a game-winning field goal or something, right? Or kickoff return. Well, these guys have really become a storyline and become weapons for the Ducks. Pretty darn cool to see. When we come back, Rob Mosley, editor-in-chief, GoDucks.com, is joining us. And, in fact, I see him walking in right now. He's already got his eyes set on that Diet Mountain Dew. Back after this on the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield.
Dear Exit Strategy, no matter which Toyota you choose, there's an exit from the ordinary to match. See you soon, Toyota. Visit your local Toyota dealer or toyota.com today. Toyota, let's go places.
From the weight room to the classroom, on the field and off it, OnPoint proudly supports University of Oregon athletics because student athletes do so much more than bring us pride on game day. They bring our entire community together in Eugene and all across Oregon. So whether you're watching the game in the stadium, at home, or at your favorite local business, their success makes all of us stronger. OnPoint Community Credit Union. Join in. OnPointCU.com. Federally insured by NCUA. Equal housing opportunity.
Dear Exit Strategy, no matter which Toyota you choose, there's an exit from the ordinary to match. See you soon, Toyota. Visit your local Toyota dealer or toyota.com today. Toyota, let's go places.
Your daily dose of Oregon athletics. This is Duck Insider from Learfield.
Steven.
Who said that?
Me, down here.
Ugh, what are you, a yellow booger?
I'm a banana slug, Steven.
What are you doing in my room?
I'm your sense of adventure. It's been a long time since we've had an adventure in the forest.
Mom took me to the forest last year.
I'm a slug, Steven. It took me a long time to get here.
You're right. I should get out.
Yeah, the forest is not that far away.
Hey, Mom!
Come to the forest where the more adventurous you lives. Check out discovertheforest.org for cool places nearby. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
America, your children have an amazing superpower. That's right. They can help save lives by simply washing their hands. Just 20 seconds of thorough hand washing after they've coughed or sneezed or been outside can help fight against the dastardly spread of germs. Armed with only soap and water and hands, your superhero can protect you, your family, and everyone out there in America land. Amazing! Find out more at coronavirus.gov. A message from the CDC and the Ad Council.
Back on Nugget Sider, presented by On Point Community Credit Union. Rob Mosley now joins us in the Country Financial Studio. Hey, Rob, what's going on, man?
Hey, bro.
How you doing?
Are your knuckles clean?
Yes.
All right, cool.
Yeah. Are yours?
Yes.
Are you sure?
If there is one silver lining to the pandemic,
it's that everybody washes their hands now.
Which I don't mean to make light of in any way, because it's been an awful tragedy, but my fastidiousness when washing hands has reached unprecedented heights. Yeah.
Are your nails, this is what I've noticed, are your nails cleaner than they've ever been?
I am ashamed to admit that I am still a nail biter.
Ah, so they're not.
Yeah. But I think this has also built up my immunity. Not to the, certainly, I don't want to go down that rabbit hole. I mean, in general.
Boy, I did not think that we were going to go here in this interview today. Yeah. That took a. Yeah.
No, I still, it's a disgusting habit, and yeah, but
do you
I
do
still,
it when you're nervous?
No.
Do you do it when you're bored?
I do it more when I'm locked in on, like if I'm watching a movie or reading a book or watching TV, you know, if I'm really intently focused on something, that's when I notice I have like, yeah, so maybe I have like nervous tension or something, but it's more, it's like just when I'm focused and like, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
The more you know with Rob Mosley. Yep. He's the editor-in-chief of GoDucks.com on Twitter at Duck Football, at GoDucks Mosley. All right, Rob, let's talk a little bit about football, if we could.
Yep.
You already got the Diamond Mountain Dew, though. Well done. I'm actually very proud of you. What do you think? 3-0 heading into the start of conference play. If I told Rob Mosley of July that, what would you have said?
We'll take it.
There you go.
We'll, telling myself a little bit now.
Oh,
I was having some conversations before I was just killing time with some colleagues, some buddies.
Sure, as you do.
Playing a what if game prior to the Ohio State game. And it came up and all these hypotheticals we were throwing out there. Would you take a win over Ohio State if it meant a loss to Stony Brook?
Oh boy.
And there were some yeses, like, oh, man, that'd be such a good win. I think I might make that trade-off. And so I was on edge a little bit last week because it was like, uh-oh, have we made, like, a deal with the devil here? But the boys took care of business.
Boys took care of business.
Fortunately, none of that nonsense actually matters. But,
it sure feels like it matters moment, doesn't
it? I think, 3-0 is you want to win every week, you know? But when it's 3-0 with a win over a Fresno State team, it looks like it's pretty darn good.
Yep.
And an Ohio State team that a lot of people still think could be, you know, the class of the Big Ten. It's awesome.
Yeah. I think that, you know, it's always interesting when you get through non-conference play. It's sort of the reset, right? Like, it's always something that I ask coaches, I'm sure you do the same. Like, okay, you're done with non-conference. It's happening for volleyball, for soccer this week, too. Volleyball tonight, actually, at 7 o'clock at Matthew Knight Arena against Oregon State. More on that in a second. You know, but I think that's where it's just sort of the natural break point, right, where it's like a few chapters in and you're reviewing the book, right?
Totally.
I feel like Oregon has for if you told me that Oregon was going to be as banged up and as shorthanded as the Ducks are right now, and you're still 3-0 with a great win over Ohio State, I think I'd be thrilled, to be honest. I mean, and that's one of the things, you heard Coach Crisball giving the update. Sounds like Ducks are getting a lot healthier, but they're still not full strength, and hey, they're still in a pretty darn good position.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And sort of the concentration, particularly the edge positions on defense, the concentration of injuries there, and then the inside linebacker spot. I mean, 3-4 weeks ago, we were talking about strengths of this team and talking about the linebacker group and just how stacked it looked. And, you know, my how things can change, you know, when football, the course of a football season just sort of begins to run. I'm super hyper aware of my fingernails now, sorry.
But your hands are very clean.
Yeah, but they are clean, yes. And luckily the mask keeps me from gnawing on them. So that's good,
God,
too.
That's like the mask is like your equivalent of the dog cone.
Yeah.
Yep. Like the cone of shame.
Yep. Anywho, yeah, the concentration of injuries at the edge position obviously is a lot to overcome. You know, that's another one of those things like, what if I told you, mm-hmm. you know, that you know, Mace Funa and Adrian Jackson and Braden Swenson and KT, you know, would all be banged up at the same time. You'd think, well, that's a problem. Mm-hmm. And not to suggest it hasn't been a problem, but it's been a problem that the team's been able to overcome. You know, I think you look at the play of like a Verone McKinley and Bennett Williams. You know, those are guys that going into the season, we thought those are solid guys yeah. who are playing way more than solid. Mm-hmm. You know, you look particularly given some of the given the suspension situation going into the year, you looked at the secondary like, how are things going to play out there? You know, so, you know, for the downside of kind of how things have shaken out with the linebacker group and their play has still been very solid.
Yep.
But to have guys, you know, on the back end step up the way they have has been pretty impressive. And, you know, by the same token, offensively, you look at the concentration of injuries at tight end. And kind of the trickle-down effect of the injuries on defense with DJ Johnson moving over to defense. But just, you know, and so with Ferguson and Motaval, you said, okay, yeah, they look like they could be real big-time players for this program eventually. Maybe eventually means in 2 years. Maybe eventually means at the end of this season. Well, eventually it turns out to have meant September. you know, they've been up to the task. Again, you know, guys who you said, hey, yeah, they look like they could be contributors this year in some way. And not only have they been contributors, but they've each caught a touchdown pass, and Ferguson started a game, had a couple huge blocks on some rushing touchdowns last week. So, yeah, you need – next man up doesn't always apply at that position. Sometimes next man up can be okay. Somebody else has to kind of pick up
right.
Where, you know, in the absence of some other guys at other spots – and we've seen that.
Yeah,
so.
Tim DeRuiter even said, you know, the Ducks were limited package-wise, and they were able to work through that
yeah.
against Stony Brook. You know, yeah. that's case in point. I told you that I would get you out so that you had time to get to your meeting that starts in 6 minutes. So just real quick,
yeah.
You got volleyball, you got soccer, Pac-12 play begins, and
yeah.
man, those two teams are pretty darn fun right now.
No doubt, yeah. I'm going out to cross country tomorrow, too, so it's,
yeah.
it's we're rolling.
The Dellinger tomorrow.
No doubt. Yeah, going to volleyball tonight. So I have to say, for as fun as the Ohio State trip was, I was legitimately pretty bummed yeah. not to be able to be here to watch volleyball that weekend. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, you know, with Penn State, Minnesota, and Stanford, we're all here. That would have been pretty fun. I mean, and it was obviously, you know, I was watching on my phone. You know, it was funny. I think the Friday night, you know, everybody's out on the town in Columbus, and I'm watching volleyball on my phone. but
it's the life you chose.
Yeah, totally. But it was like, you know, that's how much my head was kind of at those matches, how much I wish I could have been at that. So
I watched it on the yeah. bus driving back from the stadium after we set up our broadcast booth
yeah.
in Columbus.
So, yeah, pretty stoked to go out and see him,
yeah.
See volleyball in person. And soccer just off to a great start. I'm actually going down early for the Bay Area trip next week to cover them against
cool.
Cal and Stanford on the road. And, you know, that to think a few years ago, I'd be going out of my way to cover mm-hmm. some soccer games on the road, you know. Where that program's gone the last few years is pretty impressive, and they're just on an upward trajectory, so that's pretty fun.
Cool stuff. Before I let you go, I need you to do your best 30 for 30 impression, but I need you to put on, like, the podcaster voice for me.
Okay.
Because I really felt like it just didn't have the gravitas that you could give it.
For what?
What if I told you?
Oh, what if I told you? Oh, got it. What if I told you? That's kind of the podcast voice I go into. I'm like, I literally am doing it, and then there's this other voice in my head like, you are such a dork. God, you're a nerd.
Yeah, it's broadcaster voice.
Yeah. Oh, it's, yeah. Like, it's hard to take yourself seriously.
I just felt like I needed, like, you really worked at it version, because you kind of just, like, went
what
right
if
through
I told
it.
You? Yeah.
Like, you just coasted right through it as if it was nothing, and I went, no, this deserves some gravitas.
No.
So, you're the man. Thanks, buddy.
Hey, appreciate you, dude.
Yeah.
Thanks for the Diet Mountain Dew.
I promise. Clean knuckles.
Yeah.
Good. You know, that is one thing. I am an avid hand washer.
Yeah. Were you, though?
I was, yeah.
Oh, you were.
Like,
see,
anytime in the bathroom, like, after I
yeah.
eat, before I eat, like, I'm a hand washer.
Like, your whole life.
Yeah, I mean.
Yeah. Like, I've always been like, let's take care of the bits that have, you know.
Yeah, I'm not like
have
the
been
guy,
touching stuff or might touch stuff, but.
I'm not the guy that, like, would wash his hands, like, before dinner. Like, some families are very good at doing that.
Yeah.
I'm actually very much like the, if I get anything, like, sticky on my hands,
oh,
like,
yeah.
it grosses me out. I always wash my hands. That's
yeah.
why I do it. So, anyway.
Now, though? No. So, you know, between the fingers and the back of the hand.
Everywhere.
You know, those videos were going around at the start of the pandemic where it's like where stuff can spread to. And you're like, oh, my God. Yeah. I need a hazmat suit before I eat dinner.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally. Right. In between? Absolutely.
Well, you have a meeting in 3 minutes. So
okay.
Thanks, buddy.
Appreciate you.
Rob Mosley, editor-in-chief, GoDucks.com. When we come back, let's hear a little bit from Joe Moorhead, hear a little bit from Ty Thompson. We're going to zero in on the offense after this on the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield.
After 2 years of construction, my wife and I finally moved into our dream home. So when a bathtub fixture broke, causing major water damage, I was glad we had the home insurance protection we needed. How do you know your home is protected? Talk to a Country Financial rep like me, Nick Simon. We can help you understand your options and select coverages to meet your needs. Then if something happens to your home, you won't have any surprises. Need the right coverage for your home but not sure where to start? Visit TakeSimpleSteps.com or contact a local country representative.
From the weight room to the classroom, on the field and off it, OnPoint proudly supports University of Oregon athletics because student athletes do so much more than bring us pride on game day. They bring our entire community together in Eugene and all across Oregon. So whether you're watching the game in the stadium, at home, or at your favorite local business, their success makes all of us stronger. OnPoint Community Credit Union. Join in. OnPointCU.com. Federally insured by NCUA. Equal housing opportunity.
You're listening to Duck Insider. Duck Insider on the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield.
Watch out! You got me!
The galaxy is safe once again.
In the pretend universe, kids play with pretend guns. In the real world, it's up to us to make sure they don't get their hands on a real gun. If you have a gun in the house, keep it locked, unloaded, and stored separately from ammunition. Safe gun storage saves lives. Learn how to make your home safer at nfamilyfire.org. That's nfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by nFamily Fire, Brady, and the Ad Council.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Back inside the Country Financial Studio, it's Duck Insider, presented by On Point Community Credit Union. Joey Mack here with you. Every week, every Wednesday, it's kind of a fun deal we've been doing on the Oregon Sports Properties Facebook page. It's the sponsorship group here at Oregon. And man, it's been so much fun. Dove Lewis, Oregon's only nonprofit 24/7 emergency animal hospital, has been bringing us the pet of the week. This week, from Lauren. Dog's name is Luna. 5 years old Australian Labradoodle. She is, according to Lauren, a narcolepsy alert service dog. How about that? Lauren is a teacher and a basketball coach, and she says that Luna absolutely loves her students. Players adore her. How could you not? And when she isn't working, she loves to hike, chase squirrels, chew on sticks, and play with the niece and nephews. That's Luna, our pet of the week, who is a narcolepsy alert service dog. Outstanding. Our pet of the week brought to you by our friends at Dove Lewis, Oregon's only nonprofit 24/7 animal hospital. Some of the submissions that we've gotten, I am amazed at what people dress their animals in, showing off their duck fandom. Like, it actually blows me away. Man. Ty Thompson, Oregon quarterback, saw his first game action in the second half against Stony Brook. 24 points were scored when Ty Thompson was in there. And we got a chance to catch up with the young quarterback this week.
We were pretty successful. Obviously, we moved the ball down the field a few times. And, you know what I'm saying, the team really, you know, took me in, you know, under their wing, helped me. So it was a lot of fun. It was a really good experience for sure. First drive was a lot of fun.
Did it help having that change at halftime? Anthony got hurt and not having to go into the game. You can kind of get yourself mentally prepared at all for that?
I think it wouldn't have made a difference. Like, obviously, coming out of half, I was more prepared, like you said. I could think about it for a second. But, I mean, coming out of half, coming off a drive, coming off the sideline, I think it would have been the same.
How were you informed that you'd be coming into the game, and just what was going on mentally when you learned that news?
Yeah, I was just sitting there at halftime in the locker room under the bleachers, and Coach Cristobal came out and said, "You ready?" And I said, "Yes, sir." And he said, "You're going." So that was that.
Was there any hesitation at all? It was just you understood next man up mentality.
No, I understood. Yeah, no, it was. I knew. I mean, I take the twos in practice. Me and Jay split the twos, and you know, I was ready. You know, I prepare like I was the one. I mean, I prepare like I'm the next man up. So, like you said, next man up mentality.
Coach Moorhead's talked a lot about your poise, you know, coming in that situation. You had a stellar high school career. What do you attribute that to, you know, your poise?
Yeah, I think it's more about preparation than anything. I mean, being ready to go before you even hit the field is, I mean, it makes it a lot more, like, easy on your mental, for sure, because that's 90% of the quarterback game right now is, you know, making sure you know what you're doing before you do it. So preparing like I'm the guy, like I'm the next man up, it has helped a lot. I mean, as far as, you know, I got the opportunity this Saturday to you know, hit the field, and I feel like I was ready and prepared.
What was practice like today and Sunday, just in terms of reps with you and Anthony in particular?
I mean, it was back to normal. It was, I mean, I'm not going to speak on the reps and stuff like that. It's for the coaches to talk about, but it was, I mean, yeah.
You probably dreamed about that moment for quite a while. Did it live up to expectations for you?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, hitting the field for the first time, with all my guys, throwing my first touchdown pass to one of my best friends, Terrence Ferguson, couldn't have dreamed of a better situation. So, yeah.
At what point did you find out that you'd won the backup job, and how did the coaches kind of tell you that?
After fall camp, I mean, they had kind of just brought us in and let us know where we were at, each of the quarterbacks. So, yeah.
In terms of preparing for this week, they bring a lot of pressure. So if you do get in the game at any point, obviously being prepared for that is pretty big.
100%.
What have you seen on tape in terms of just what makes them unique and how much pressure they bring?
Yeah, like you said, they like to solve their problems with aggression and pressure, try to disrupt the quarterback, get them off their game, which we try to, you know, we're going to try to take advantage of that. You know, they bring a lot of pressure, like you said, so making sure I have the protections right, making sure I have my hot routes and everything, you know, get the ball out of my hand quick when stuff gets broken down.
This 2021 class has seen a lot of guys, yourself included, get some pretty good snaps, starting off, you know, Terrence, Maliki. Well, what do you think makes this freshman class so special?
I think we all came in ready to, you know, play. I mean, we saw the, you know, the headlines, best class in school history, and I don't think we let that get to our heads. We came in and worked. I mean, I think the seniors, upperclassmen, took notice of that, and, I mean, they've given us their props. I feel like we came in ready to work. I mean, we came in with our heads down and try to take some jobs. It wasn't like we were coming in as freshmen. We were coming in trying to see the field.
Coach said, I think about 80 players saw the field on Saturday. Is there a different mood at all in practice this week that so many people got to see the field and prove that they're actually worth playing?
I don't think it's any different. I feel like, I mean, we come out here every day and work, no matter if we're the ones or twos or who's playing. I mean, everyone on the field could play at any program in the country. So whether you're a one or a walk-on or a four, whatever you are, I feel like anyone on our team can play anywhere. So we all come out and give it our best every day, and I feel like, you know, who plays and who doesn't play doesn't change how we practice.
How much fun was it to have that moment with Dante on Saturday for him to score on the first touch of his career?
Yeah, Dante, I mean, I knew he was going to break one eventually. I mean, he got the ball his first catch, and he busted it for, what, 50-something? So he's a really special athlete, special talent. So, I mean, that was a great connection. Obviously, I've been trying to recruit him since, you know, the day after I committed. So seeing that connection kind of come to life was pretty fun.
What were the biggest things during the Fresno State game and Ohio State game? What were the biggest things you were trying to do on the sideline to get yourself ready for when you would be on the field?
Yeah, I mean, I try to stay myself behind Coach Moorhead and make sure I see the signals, see the plays, and then, you know, focus on the game, you know, see their coverages, see what they're bringing, see what AB does right and does wrong, and so I can, you know, make adjustments for myself.
I'm not sure entirely like how the offense functioned at Mesquite, but at the college level, there's so much, you know, hurry up or lack of huddle, but we were talking about the signals. How does that work for you, you know, with all the processing that you have to do now that you're in college?
Yeah, I mean, dealing with that stuff is just another, you know, step of the next level. College is a little bit of a deeper, obviously, level. It's a lot faster. It's a lot, you know, more talent on both sides of the ball. So, I mean, dealing with the signals, dealing with the mental side of the game has just been another step deeper in the game. I mean, it's a lot of fun. It makes it a lot more fun when you see it. You see it all come together and you get it right. It's a lot more fun. So as far as comparing it to high school to college, I feel like it's just a step deeper.
Great stuff. Getting to know Ty Thompson a little bit. Next man up. Next duck up. He's sure been embracing it. Next up, we're going to hear from Joe Moorhead, the offensive coordinator for the Ducks, right after this on the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield.
As my family continued to grow, I realized I'd have to replace my beloved Jeep with something that has, well, more seats. I'm Jason Hines, Country Financial Rep and father of seven. Whether you're upgrading from your sporty ride with no room for a car seat or finally replacing your well-loved beater that still has a cassette player, you'll want the right protection for your new car. Work with a Country Financial rep like me and get the protection you need at a price you can afford. Learn more at TakeSimpleSteps.com or contact a local Country representative.
Is that the sound of an ooey gooey cheesy crunchy slice of P-I-Z-Z-A? Obviously, but as good as that sounds, we think it can get even better. Oh yeah, that's the sound of a freshly opened fizz-filled Pepsi. The only thing that can take this flavor medley of crunchy dough, mouth-watering cheese, and savory sauce to the next level. How about another bite? Pepsi and pizza sound like a match made in heaven and taste even better. Pizza, better with Pepsi. That's what I like.
This is Duck Insider, presented by On Point Community Credit Union on the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield.
Okay, forest animals, kids are coming to the forest, and it's up to us to make their visit a good one. Sparrow, have you practiced the most popular bird songs for the year?
Of course.
Catchy. I like it. River, how's the temperature?
It's a refreshing 52 degrees, man.
I love it. Turtle.
He's not here yet, man.
He's late every morning. Okay, squirrel.
The forest has been preparing just for you. To learn more about cool things to do in the forest, visit discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Tom has been a teacher for over 40 years. One day, I think one of the students had asked the question and he didn't remember the answer. And I also noticed that he was letting his class out earlier than they were supposed to let out. I was really starting to worry.
Levi and I talked about how it would change our lives, but he was there beside me.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. Visit alz.org/ourstories to learn more. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Joey Mack, welcoming you back to Duck Insider, presented by On Point Community Credit Union. We're in the Country Financial Studio. Oregon Football Coaches Show coming your way 7 o'clock tonight. Jerry and Jorgie talking with Marcel Yates, and I'll have a bunch of different interviews with Oregon student athletes. Now, though, we're going to let Coach Moorhead fill you in. What he think of Oregon's performance this past weekend and his thoughts on this Arizona team that does seem to be a little bit beat up defensively. Joe Moorhead, the Oregon offensive coordinator, talking with the media.
Joe, just how do you feel about receiver blocking as a whole outside of Johnny and maybe Chris Hudson at times? I know you got the one from Troy there on the touchdown by Dante as well. There's one instance last week, but just as a whole, these first 3 weeks, how do you feel about the group and blocking in particular?
Yeah, it's a continued point of emphasis, from Coach Cristobal and Coach McClendon, blocking on the perimeter. Always talk about turning short runs into long runs and long runs into touchdowns. I do a great job outside with our fundamentals and technique with our hands, keep them inside and finishing blocks. As you mentioned, I think Johnny's doing an unbelievable job continue to work on it during the season.
My question is, you went 3-for-10 on third down today, this Saturday, but still managed to be dominant on all aspects of the game. Is that something to be concerned about?
I'm doing well, Alvaro. Thanks for asking. Hope you're doing well too. We had gone into the game with a pretty high third down conversion percentage through the first two. Certainly 3-for-10 is below our standard. I think we were a little bit better on fourth down, but I think it was a situation where the yardage to go was a term I use behind the sticks. You're going to be converting when you're third and short and third and medium, and you start getting into those longs and extra longs, it makes it hard to get those conversions. But yes, certainly an area where we were not at our best, did not meet our goal, and something we need to improve upon heading into the Arizona game.
Coach, you had true freshmen catch 10 passes on Saturday. Is that something that really surprises you or something that you've seen much of in your coaching career?
Yeah, that's a high number. I think as we look through the numbers, five different running backs carry the ball. And if you include AB, that makes it, six with a quarterback. I think there were 11 people who caught a pass, and then six different people scored a touchdown. And as you mentioned, amongst those were the true freshmen. So off the top of my head, I cannot recall a situation where that occurred. But I think it is a very positive sign for this season and for the future to have. And I think when these classes were signed, I think we all knew that there was an opportunity for young guys to play early and make a positive contribution. So I think it's great to see the young guys making plays out there.
Coach, your assessment of both Ty and Jay and how they performed, I understand Jay was one series, so not a huge sample size. And then just how that, I guess, position battle played out this fall. What were some of the determining factors to go Ty over the others?
Yeah, first part, as a program and in the quarterback room, those guys all prepare as if they're one or two plays away. And when they enter the game, there's a certain standard of performance that's expected of them. So, starting with Ty, I mean, he's a particularly cool customer, and confidence is bred through talent and preparation. So, there wasn't any wide eyes, when he was told he was entering the game. He was very poised, cool, calm, collected. I think went 6-9, threw 2 touchdowns, operated the offense very well. So, I was excited to see him get an opportunity to perform, and then Jay went in and led a touchdown drive and operated the offense. So it was good to see, 2 and 3 go in there and, continue to have the offense continue to produce from a decision-making standpoint from fall camp. I mean, both of the guys did a very, very nice job. Just Todd just did the things that we were looking for. A little bit better, and obviously that competition will continue as it does at every other position.
Yeah, Joe, last year the offense had, I think, 16 turnovers, and this year it's only 1 through 3 games. I realize it's a pretty small sample size, but what do you just attribute that kind of turnaround to, and just how well it's paid off for you guys?
Just told a pitcher they're throwing a no-hitter, so appreciate that. Hopefully that wasn't a damn jinx there. But attribute it to second year in the offense, quarterback's decision making, and knowing when to throw it where it needs to be, making aggressive but not reckless decisions, and knowing that a throwaway or taking a sack is better than turning the football over. So that's number one. And then we've worked a different ball security circuit throughout spring ball and fall camp, just relative to us keeping the ball high and tight and not putting that thing on the ground. So I think that's probably the two things that, attribute to our ability to protect the football right now and need it to continue against a very good Pac-12 opponent.
Joe, looking ahead to this week, Roland Wallace, 4, might be one of the best corners in the league. He just happens to be on a rebuilding team situation right now. What makes him so capable, and particularly in a lockdown corner where I would imagine against them, a lot of teams are just going to avoid even throwing his direction because of some personnel elsewhere. But, what do you see from him that makes him a challenge?
I think his length, I think his physicality in the run game and at the line of scrimmage. And I think he's got very good short distance quickness and ability to redirect. And then the scheme that Coach Brown utilizes gives him a lot of opportunities to press at the line of scrimmage and challenge the receivers, a lot of press man to man, a lot of, cloud coverage. So I think he's got a lot of talent. And I think that, the things that Coach Brown's doing with him, are taking advantage of his very impressive skill set.
Coach, you've obviously worked with your fair share of quarterbacks at, previous stops. Ty gets in, understandably, a lot of buzz around him. What do you see from him that you maybe don't see in your typical freshman at this level?
I mean, he's incredibly talented. I think that's the first thing. And everyone probably had a pretty good idea of that, throughout the recruiting process. All of the 5 stars were earned, and he had a very impressive resume as a high school quarterback. But the thing that strikes me about Ty is his commitment to preparation and the mental aspect of it. I think his maturity and I think his poise, I think those are things that all stand out that you really don't see in a lot of true freshmen in any position. But, he came at mid-year, committed to learn what we're doing, understand the what's, the whys, and the hows. And I think he brings a very even-keeled but yet competitive demeanor to the room and to the offense. So hopefully continue that and, see him improve every week.
Well, Coach, what are your thoughts on CJ Verdell so far after last season's injury, and how much does a player of his caliber open up the playbook?
Yeah, CJ is doing a fantastic job in the run game and pass protection, also catching the football. I've said before that the success of our offense is contingent upon our ability to run the ball successfully, and between he and Travis and any other running backs this week. I think we've been able to do that. And Coach Masho does a good job, you know, mixing and matching those guys and getting them in on plays to fit their skill set. But he's having the type of season I think that we all expected, you know, running physically, you know, breaking plays open when he gets to the second and third level. And, you know, hopefully we continue to, you know, utilize the skill set and he stays healthy and productive.
Coach, when a player like Dante Thornton, I know it's just one play, but he has an explosive play and kind of maximizes that opportunity. Can that start as maybe a jumping off point for more opportunity or a bigger role in an offense, or does that have to be determined, I guess, by practice repetition?
No, I mean, I think to have your first college, you know, touch be a long touchdown, I think that was a big confidence boost for Dante. And you know, he had a very nice spring ball and a good fall camp and is in a receiver room with a lot of talent. And Coach McClendon has done a phenomenal job developing, you know, the entire room, but in particular those young guys, and, you know, got to see a little bit of Isaiah. But, you know, Dante, he works hard during the week, understands what he's doing. And as he continues to develop and, you know, earn his repetitions in the game and the ball comes to him, I think you'll see more plays along those lines.
What are you hoping to see Dante Thornton continue to improve and kind of progress on it as his freshman season continues?
No, I think all those, the three young guys, you know, probably the same thing, understanding of the offense and not just what plays we're running, but, you know, how they adjust for certain coverages and, you know, just, I'd say as much understanding our offense as, you know, improving their level of understanding of, you know, defensive coverages and how routes adjust and things like that. As James mentioned earlier, you know, continuing to be physical at the point of attack in the run game, particularly on perimeter runs. But I'd say consistency and experience. And I think they'll, like I said, all continue to improve, you know, with more practice reps and more game opportunities.
So there's a really small sample, I understand, but you guys did really well in the middle eight last year. And this year it's been a little bit of a mixed bag. Obviously you had the score against Fresno, but then they drove down the score. And then the third quarter was CJ slipped up on the fourth and one. Ohio State, there was the penalty, obviously opened the third quarter with a touchdown. This past week, you drive, but then the two sacks and then start the, you know, the third quarter with a dead drive before ultimately scoring. You've put yourself in position. That's the good part. The execution just hasn't always been there. I realize it's only three games. How do you evaluate those opportunities that you've had to really put teams away in those moments and capitalize momentum that at times you eventually did, just not necessarily in the middle eight?
Yeah, I think I was looking at the scoring by quarter the other day, and it's pretty balanced along all four quarters. I think we may be the highest in either the first or the fourth. But yeah, coming out of the locker room, making sure we're identifying what the defense is doing, how they're trying to attack us and making good adjustments, and then coming out and you know, putting those, you know, little tweaks or you know, adjustments to work. But yeah, what you said is accurate. No, there's a certain point in the game when, you know, if you want to equate it to a boxing match, that you have somebody on the ropes and you don't want to let them get back in the middle of the ring and you don't want the you know, the bell to sound and then get back in the corner. So we, at a certain point, we got to develop that ability when we got someone in the corner to end it. And, you know, hopefully we continue with that as, you know, the season progresses.
Offensive coordinator Joe Moorhead, heard from him or from Ty Thompson when we come back. God, I don't know who we're going to hear from yet. Depends on who we're going to be able to fit in as we are up against the clock a little bit. Back after this, New Oregon Sports Network from Learfield.
Dear past, present, and future football watchers, football is back! So consider this your official excuse for always putting football watching first, courtesy of Pepsi. That haircut appointment? Seeing the in-laws for the first time in ages?
It's been so long!
Nope, sorry, Susan, not if it's on Sunday. Long story short, after the year we've all had, we think you could use a little football watching. So crack open a Pepsi and cheer your football watching face off. With love, Pepsi. Made for football watching. That's what I like.
From the weight room to the classroom, on the field and off it, OnPoint proudly supports University of Oregon athletics because student athletes do so much more than bring us pride on game day. They bring our entire community together in Eugene and all across Oregon.
So whether you're watching the game in the stadium, at home, or at your favorite local business, their success makes all of us stronger. On Point Community Credit Union. Join in. OnPointCU.com. Federally insured by NCUA. Equal housing opportunity.
More Duck Insider coming up on the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield.
Okay, man, this is your time. Maybe you didn't choose this, but you're here now. You're going to go out there and be an all-star caregiver. Cook, clean, be there emotionally and physically. You got to dig deeper. Drive them to physical therapy, doctor's appointments, because that's what caregivers do. Don't give up. Show the world that you're tougher than tough. Caregiving is tougher than tough. Find the care guides you need at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
To some, the sound of a baby babbling doesn't mean much, but that's not true. They're testing out vowels and consonants and trying different sounds. And by 12 months, their babbling is beginning to take on meaning, especially if there's no babbling at all. Little to no babbling by 12 months or later is just one of the possible signs of autism in children. Learn more at AutismSpeaks.org. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Back on Duck Insider, presented by On Point Community Credit Union. Before we get to the Cafe 2-Minute Drill, we get you ready for a 7 o'clock start for the rivalry series between Oregon and Oregon State coming up tonight at Matthew Knight Arena. Got a chance to catch up with Terrence Ferguson, the young freshman who caught his first career touchdown pass from Ty Thompson this past weekend. I got a chance to talk with him a little bit just about that moment, what it was like. Terrence Ferguson.
Hey, just walk us through that play. What was that feeling like catching that touchdown?
It felt amazing, honestly, especially to catch it from my other freshman boy, Ty. And it's just a good feeling to get in the end zone for the first time.
Is that one of those things you guys kind of talked about? Like, hey, this could be the connection?
Yeah, for sure. We've had it in practice for sure, go running with the twos and then going with the ones here and there. And we've gone and thrown out at the park before, hella after practice. So just multiple times of working at it and see it come life is pretty cool.
For you and Maliki both coming in, you know, it just seems like you guys have really hit the ground running. What's been the key to that for both of you guys?
I think coming in early really helped us. And I think the big thing is getting in, doing extra work and just kind of getting after and trusting the process here.
Tight end depth, that's something that we've talked about. You're smiling. I mean, what comes to mind when I just ask you about that room in general?
Well, we had a big room to start and kind of faded off a little bit with some injuries here and there, but I still think we got a good group of guys that rotate in and out and everybody's playing and contributing, so I think we still have good depth.
What was the biggest change that you had to make in your game, biggest advancement in your game over the last few weeks?
Probably blocking, getting used to blocking bigger dudes and just being able to have good technique all the time.
Keys to victory against Arizona, what's on your mind?
Just be physical, come off the ball, and just get after him, really. It's a simple game.
Just had a minute or so to catch up with Terrence after practice, and, man, it was cool getting to know one of those tight ends. I think, Duck fans, you're going to see him an awful lot over the next, few years. That's the hope, anyway. Your Cafe 2-Minute Drill. The schedule ahead for Oregon Athletics is a busy one because you got Oregon Volleyball tonight, 7 o'clock against Oregon State. The Ducks in their first Pac-12 match of the year. Then the Bill Dellinger Cross Country Invitational at the Pine Ridge Golf Club out in Springfield. That's tomorrow evening. Thursday, cross country season gets rolling here in Tracktown, USA. Also, another Pac-12 start to the season. Oregon soccer on the road against UCLA. A 7 o'clock start against the number 3 team in the country on Friday evening. 7 o'clock on Friday for Oregon soccer. This past couple days, Oregon men's golf has been in action, and Owen Averett posted his best finish as a Duck Tuesday at the Husky Invitational. The junior from California shot a 1-under-71, finished tied for 8th at 5-under. Now, as a team, Oregon finished 6th in their first event in a while for Oregon golf, and then it's going to be cool to see Oregon women's golf get going on Friday. They're out in Nashville, Tennessee. That's right. Derek Radley and his squad competing out in Nashville beginning on Friday, and of course, wear green for Oregon football against Arizona, the Pac-12 conference opener at 7:30 at Autzen Stadium on Saturday. Man, this is the fun time of year. Everything starts to get going. 2-Minute Drill brought to you by Cafe restaurants throughout Oregon and Washington, where special diet requests and custom orders are always welcome. Menus, nutrition info, cafeyum.com. Volleyball tonight. See you at Matthew Knight Arena.
It's 4 a.m., Monday. and you're literally sucking baby snot through a tube because she's congested. Man, that's love. And if you love her that much, love her enough to make sure she's buckled in the right car seat. To make sure your child's in the right seat for their age and size, visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Show them you love them. Keep them safe. Visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
America, your children have an amazing superpower. They can help save lives by not having playdates. That's right. By replacing get-togethers with virtual playdates and video chats, they can help slow the evil spread of germs. And if your superheroes do go outside, make sure they continue their superhero wing by staying 6 feet away from others to protect everyone in America land. Find out more at coronavirus.gov. A message from the CDC and the Ad Council.
When might you be buzzed? When you suddenly love everything.
You guys, I love this song.
I love these nachos.
I love our kickball league. Ugh! I love this guy.
What's your name?
You know what I'd love? A ride when it's time to head out.
If you see a buzzed warning sign, call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
I love your car. Is this real leather?
Hey, so what's a great way to spread awareness that driving high is illegal everywhere? A catchy song, of course.
You can run, or you can't drive high. You can run, but you can't drive high.
Friendly reminder, don't drive high. If you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Been listening to Doc Insider on the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield, presented by On Point Community Credit Union. Better banking, local solutions. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation of the Oregon Sports Network.
Nothing in front of
us. This is a presentation of Learfield.
The celebration begins.